Take your Bible this morning, if you will, and let's go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, if you'll just turn there, please. If you have your Bible, open up and read it there. Just want you to know this morning I am going to preach a message that relates to the day of Mother's Day. I don't always do that. I know of a preacher, he said when on Mother's Day he preaches on hell, but I'm not sure he was telling the truth when he said that, but I'll just try to give you a Bible message this morning. There is no substitute for a godly mother, just none. And I tell you what, if your mom is still alive, you ought to spend all the time you can hugging her and letting her know how much you love her, how much you appreciate her. You said, well, she wasn't the perfect mom. Yeah, and you ain't the perfect kid either. So that y'all make a perfect pair. Both of you imperfect, all right? But you need to know that mom needs to know she's appreciated and she's loved, and you ought to make sure you take every chance you can to tell her that. If she lives far away, call her. Call her regularly. Not once a year on Mother's Day. Call her regularly. Man, if your mom's alive, she lives off, you ought to call her every week, at least once a week. You ought to call her and talk to her. And you say, well, we're estranged. Then go to her and make up. Just make up. You don't know what she did. Nope, I don't. But there's a thing called forgiveness. You need to forgive her and go on, all right? She needs you, you need her. So hope you'll do that. That was message number one. Now we'll go to number two. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Going to read a lengthy portion. Now there was a certain man of Ramatham Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace unto the God of Israel. grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Hannah stands out in the Word of God as an amazing individual. She was a woman that wanted a child beyond anything else. She wanted God to give her a child. And I believe she had a desire to raise that child in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If there's one thing we need in this day, it's successful parents. Successful parents. Hannah was that. She was a successful parent. Hey, by the way, it's no accident. It's no accident. Hey, moms, dads, you're here this morning. It's no accident if you're successful as a parent. It's not going to be an accident. It's not going to just be a matter of luck. Okay, if your children turn out to be what you want them to be, it will not be just a lucky thing, you know, and you just hit the jackpot. No, it's because you do some things that you ought to do. And we'll look at Hannah and you say, preacher, my kids are grown and now I have grandkids. Okay, good. You got another chance. You got another chance. Might I say to you as a grandparent, don't seek to spoil your grandkids. You say, well, I spoil them and send them home. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, but then everybody else has got to live with the brat you spoiled, all right? They got to live that way with their parents and all the folks that know them outside the place, you know. Quit spoiling kids, all right? They don't need to be spoiled. They need to be taught. They need to be trained. They need to be brought up right, okay? They don't need to be spoiled, so don't do that. You say, well, how can I do it? Well, I want you to see, number one, what Hannah did. She did in an unfriendly atmosphere. She lived in an unfriendly atmosphere. You talk about somebody that did not have the ideal situation. Hannah was there. Hannah was there, not the ideal. Her husband had two wives. So here she is sharing her husband with another man. You said, preacher, is that right? It's never been right, never will be right. And never has been right, okay? It's wrong. God never intended for men to take more than one wife. You said, well, they did, yep, and they suffered for it, all right? Her situation was not ideal because not only did her husband have another wife, but that other wife tormented Hannah. Now, ladies, I love you. I say that, but if there's one thing you can do, you know how to make life miserable for somebody else. Sometimes it's just a look. You can give that look. Come on, don't sit there with that halo glowing over your head. You know what I'm talking about. You can give that look, or you can just make a remark. It's the cut of the eyes. It's there. You know how to do it. You know how to put it on another woman. You know how to do that, all right? Man, that was a situation here with Peninnah and Hannah. Hannah had no children. Peninnah had children. Hey, by the way, this was in a day when people loved kids and didn't want to avoid them. So they looked forward to having them, and they looked down on somebody that didn't have them. And Peninnah made sure Hannah never forgot, I got kids and you don't. She knew how to do that. Hey, not only that, but it was a day that where everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. Hey, it's a day kind of a lot like today, huh? Everybody decides what they think is right, you know, and we do what we want to do and go their own way. Look, if you're raising kids, you've got a lot of things against you today. You got a lot of technology against you. Most of you make the mistake of giving your child one of these. Now, boy, I just got the kids all mad at me, you know. And you think, well, they've got to have one. No, they don't. I just want to ask you, how many of you grew up and never had a cell phone? Let me see your hands. Wow. You survived. You know, well, preacher, everybody didn't have them in our day. I know it. But you survived. You can survive without it today. You say, well, man, like, hey, wait a minute. I don't care if you give them a phone, but don't give them a smartphone. Don't give them a smartphone. Look, I've had teenagers tell me. They had a problem with pornography. They looked at it on their phone, but they wasn't going to get rid of their phone because they couldn't live without. You give your kid a smartphone, you open up a world of filth to them. I know I'm spitting in the wind, but I'm going to do it as long as I'm alive. Give your child a phone, one that they can call you, one that makes phone calls. They don't need to access the internet and the world with that phone, all right? We live in a day where it's difficult to raise kids. It is. I mean, I believe it's the hardest job in the world. But that was it. She did it in an unfriendly atmosphere. You have an unfriendly atmosphere, but you can still raise godly kids if you want to. You can still do it. And she did it. She said, how'd she do it? Number one, she did it with unfeigned faith. Would you look at verse 18? Verse 18 of the Bible, she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way, did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Now here she was. She went from a woman who looked sad, was bitter in her soul, could not eat, and now she's not that way. She ate, she left, she didn't have that sadness about her, all right, and she was no more sad. What happened? She got a word from the Lord. All she got was a word from the Lord. He said, all right, you've asked for that child. God's going to give you that child. She had an unfeigned faith. If you're going to raise godly kids, you need some faith that'll stand the test, all right? She realized that only God could do what she wanted. Only God can do it. Let me say this to you. If you raise godly kids today, it'll only be because God helped you. God helps you to raise them. You're not going to do it by your lonesome, all right? You're not going to do them. We live today where people say, well, it takes a village. Well, if you let the village raise your kids, you're going to have a mess. All right? So you've got the job, but if you'll have that faith in God and turn it to Him, He can help you. Hannah knew that her need was only answerable by God. Only God could do it. She knew where to turn in adversity. If you raise godly kids, there'll come a time, and probably more than once, where you'll be on your face before God saying, Lord, I need help. I need help. When I was raising mine, there were times where I was on my face before God saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your help. He said, preacher, you didn't know what to do. No, I didn't know what to do. I had to go to God. Listen, that's that unfeigned faith. You need to know where to go in adversity. Don't call, Dr. Phil. Get in touch with God. Get in touch with Him. He can help you. That's what Hannah did. She prayed. She prayed believing God would answer her prayer. She came to Him. She put her heart out in it. She prayed. And to her, her God was not some impotent idol. He was the living God, the creator of the universe. She prayed to Him. And she knew, when I prayed, I know He hears me. I know He hears me. Hey, that's the kind of faith she had. She knew, I'm praying to God. And that God's going to hear me. That God's going to answer my prayer. He's going to supply my need because only He can give what I need. And you need to learn to go to that God and pray to Him and ask Him for the help that you need raising your kids. Go to Him, all right? The truth of the matter is, old Samuel was a child of prayer. He got into this world because his mama prayed him in. Mama prayed him in. Hey, listen, after you pray them in, pray for them while they're here, okay? Boy, pray for them while they're here. She prayed. Hey, she lived in an unfriendly atmosphere. She did it with unfeigned faith. Secondly, she did it with unwavering devotion. Unwavering devotion. I want you to see this, all right? She's the one that took care of Samuel when he got here, all right? Look down in verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. She was devoted to the care of her child. Mama, can I say this to you? There is no substitute for you in the care of your children. They need a mom. Hey, Mom, can I say this? That means you're going to have to spend some time with them. If you've got more than one child, make sure you spend time with all of them. And not just time chewing them out. They need to be chewed out from time to time. They need to be disciplined from time to time. They need to be chastened from time to time. But more than that, they need your time with them. Spend some time with them. Let them know, hey, let each one of them know they're special. They're special. Just do that little bit of extra thing. Say, well, preacher, I work. Okay, good. You took that on, but you got some kids. Spend some time with them. Well, I won't have time for me. You will after they're grown. You will after they're grown. Just spend some time with them. They need it. They need it. They need to know you love them. They need to know that you're right there rooting them on for whatever it is they're doing, okay? You need to be there. That needs to be a part of it, okay? She was devoted to that child. Now, don't leave the job of raising your children to somebody else. Look, I know we live in a complicated day. I know we live in an expensive day. I know we live in a day when oftentimes both parents work. You don't have a choice. It has to be that way. But I don't care where your children wind up. If they're in a daycare, they're being taken care of by a relative or a friend, you make sure you don't leave the job of raising your children to that daycare, that relative, or that friend. The job of raising your child belongs to you. You have to spend the time doing it. Spend that time. Give them the care. Give them that. Be devoted to them, all right? Be devoted to them. You be careful you don't treat them unequally. Don't do that. Not only was she devoted to her son, but she was devoted to her God. When Samuel was born, did you notice what the Bible said she named him? That name Samuel means asked of God. That means every time the people in that day, when they called Samuel's name, they knew Samuel was asked of God. They knew, hey, this mother asked God to give her this child. She called upon him. She honored God even in naming her son. She never wavered from the promise she had made God. She never wavered. Her promise was, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. I'll give him back to you. She never wavered on her promise. She's not like a lot of people today that make all kinds of promises to God, thinking I can get God to do what I want him to do, and then when it happens, I'll go back on my promise. Can I say this to you? If you have that mentality, what kind of God do you have? The God I serve knows everything. He knows the intents of my heart. And if I'm trying to work a deal with him, getting it to do my way, knowing in the future I'm going to go ahead. Hey, he already knows what you're going to do. It's not going to surprise him. He already knows. But man, you're still running the gauntlet to think you can get away with doing that to God. But Hannah never wavered in her thought. She said, I'll give him back to you. There's no indication that after he was born, she thought, oh, I love this little guy so much, I can't do that. I'll just keep him. Lord, I'll give you the next one. No, that's the kind of thinking people do. But not Hannah. She kept her word, all right? She kept her word. She was devoted to her God. She was devoted to taking care of him. And I want you to see this. She was devoted to training Samuel. If there's one thing we don't do anymore, we don't train our children. We do not train our children. So what do you mean, preacher? Well, Hannah obviously trained him well. We were at a restaurant. Man, I think it was last Sunday. We were out at Cotton Patch. I think it was last Sunday. We were eating out there. And we took the Brinkleys and we went up to Cotton Patch. And we sat down there. And we sat down at this one table. And I was looking across the table. And there was this big, long group. Man, they had put together probably five or six tables. And there was a bunch of adults about, you know, halfway down. And then the other half was kids. Little kids. Little ones. Now, when I go to a restaurant anywhere, I watch people. I watch people, and I watch those kids. I watched all those kids. After we finished eating, we were leaving. I went over to that table, and I got in the middle of those adults. I said, hey, can I say something to you? You've done a fine job training your children. You're not going to believe this. All of those kids were able to sit down there and stay in their chair and actually eat their food. Do you understand me? None of them stood up in the chair and screamed out, I demand my rights, you know, or whatever. There was no food thrown around. They actually sat there like little human beings, not little wild animals. That didn't happen accidentally. That happened because those people trained their children. Hey, if you don't have them trained to act right in public, don't take them out in public, okay? I mean, they were trained. They all sit there. They ate. They talked with one another. They, you know, I mean, there was no ill will. Didn't see anybody pushing each other, hitting each other. And they were kin. You usually want to hit your cousin, all right? Or your brother, you know. But none of them did that. Well-trained folks. Well-trained, at least in that respect. Hey, that's the job you've got. Notice verse 18. Verse 28, chapter 1. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worship the Lord there. Hey, Hannah had trained her son to worship the Lord. She left him there at the temple and he worshiped the Lord there. She trained him. Look, you go to chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. She taught him some things. Listen, before she took him to that temple, she had trained him. She had given him some training on how to act and how to conduct himself, how to do some things. Look, parents, that's your job. Train them how to act. Just train them. Put them through and let them know. Now, I don't care how you do it. I don't mean you have to have sessions. All right, kids, get together. We're going to train you now. Here's the whip. All right, no. But train them. Train them. Hey, you know what? There's a good chance they'll say thank you if you'll train them to say thank you. You'll train them. I'd take my kids to places when they were growing up, and I always hated to hear, now what do you say? I would just usually look at mine. Thank you. Good job. And you know, we trained them to do that. I trained them to take no for an answer. You can train your children to take no for an answer, where they don't jump in the floor and kick and scream and pound the floor. And they don't cry and scream out. You can train them. You say, how'd you do it? I never said yes at the grocery store or Walmart or any place when we were walking through the line and all of that stuff on child's eye level. Dad, can I have that? No, not this time. I never said yes. Never. You can ask them. If they asked something, nope, never said yes. It was always no. I said, well, how mean? Yep, I wanted them to take no for an answer. I wanted them to know what it was. Hey, no, you can't have it. Now, it's not because I really didn't want them to have it. There might have been a time or two where I was about to get something and give it to them, and then they asked. Ruin that one. I said, preacher, yeah, I trained them to take no for an answer. Hey, the reason kids throw a fit, because you've not trained them to take no for an answer. You've not trained them to take no for an answer. Now, the training started at home, where you can deal with it at home, all right? Now, by the way, I joke about that, but you'll never beat your kids. Never beat mine. I spanked them. They needed a spanking. Good for them. It was good for them. It's still good for kids now. You got to be very careful in doing it, but you train them at home, all right? But you reinforce it out in public, all right? You train them. Look, God gave you that job. You want to raise, you want to be successful, parent, train your children. Train your children. Train them to be grateful. Train them to have manners. So what, preacher, people don't do that today? Well, you should, because it's right. Not because somebody else does it or because somebody else doesn't do it. Train them because it's right. Hannah devoted to training. Now, what did Hannah get out of this deal? Here's a lady, no children, burdened about it, burdened to the point she could not eat, burdened to the point she was bitter in her soul. She prayed to God, give me that man child and I'll give him back to you to serve you. God gave her that son. She raised him. When he got old enough, she took him to the temple and gave him there to the priest and said he's going to live here and serve the Lord the rest of his life. Said, what did she get out of it? Look in chapter 2, would you? Look in chapter 2 and verse 21. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. She prayed for one. God gave her 3 more boys and 2 girls. Prayed for one. God gave her that one. Then he gave her 5 more. Gave her 5 more. Hey, it is unfailing blessing. And I say this to you, you will never lose when you lend your children to God. You'll never lose. Smartest thing you can do if you're a parent is you raise your children in a godly way, but you give them back to God and you pray that God will call them to serve Him. Smartest thing you can do. Pray that God would call your children to serve Him. Oh, preacher, they may be taken to some country way on the other side of the world. And if they're in the will of God, it's the best place they can be. Best place they can be. Hey, don't whine about it. Nowadays, technology is such that you can see them. You can talk to them if they are on the other side of the world. The other day, I was looking and I saw on the internet where Brother and Mrs. Peterson's 2 children. Now, Brother and Miss Peterson are in Uganda serving God. Their 2 children are grown. They're still here in the States, living here in the States, serving God here. And they showed, they got together through video and played games together. Hey, that you can do that today. In days gone by, when you kissed them goodbye, you wouldn't see them maybe for 4 or 5 years. And it's not that way today, but the best thing you can do is you lend your kids back to God. Give them to Him. Pray that God will call them. Pray that God will use them. Don't give up on them. Pray that God will use them. You do your part. I guarantee you God will do His. Guarantee you God will do His. Now, how about it? How about it? Look, I can talk to you from the Word of God all there is, but it falls in your lap to do what you need to do. Let me suggest this to you. You'll never make a success as a mom or a dad if you've never been born again. You've never been born again. If you've never come to that place where you realized you needed the Lord to save your soul, you've never called upon Him to forgive you for being a sinner and ask Him to save your soul, you'll never be a success as a parent. Just can't do it. It starts with that. And by the way, it's never too late for you to call. Say, my kids are grown. It's never too late for you to get born again. Maybe there's some grandkids that are going to need your touch. Maybe they're coming. Hey, you need to get right with God. You need to trust Him as your Savior. Have you been born again today? Hey, not just moms. I'll speak to you kiddos that are here. If your parents are going to train you, it's a lot easier to train you if you're willing to be trained. If you're willing to listen to mom and dad. You don't know everything. You just don't, okay? Listen to them. Let them train you. Let them teach you. Let them instruct you. Until you're willing to do that, you hinder them being a success. You keep them from being successful. I don't care if you're 47 years old. You still ought to be right with your parents. You ought to be right with your parents. I told everybody when my dad was alive, I don't remember how old I was when I got my last whipping, but if my dad would have pulled his belt off and said to me, son, I'm going to spank you, I would have let him do it. I don't care how old I was. I would have said, go ahead. Go ahead. Hey, listen, your parents, you little kiddos here, your parents have gone through a lot for you. You need to grow up. You ought not to be great, ungrateful. You ought not to be demanding of them. Instead, you ought to listen. They've got something they can help you with. I'll ask you this morning. You're all in the family, all right? Everybody sits in a family somewhere. You may be the only child, so you could grow up selfish. You may be the only one. You may be one of 10. Wherever you stand, you're in the family. You're the parent. You're the child. You know, you're there. Are you right with God in the way you should be in your family? You know, sometimes you come on Mother's Day, say, preacher, let them mothers have it. That way I'm safe. No, you need to hear it too. You got a part. You know, you could have made your mom's job a lot easier. You could have made your mom's job a lot easier. Some of you still can. You ought to do that. It's in your hands, in your lap. Would you stand this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed? I ask you to consider, what about your relationship with God? Your relationship with Him needs to be right before you can have the right relationship with your parents, with your children. It needs to be right with God. If it's not, would you do something about it this morning?